Taking a comprehensive look at the week's indie wrestling news so you don't have to, it's the PWP Weekly Newscast on PWPonderings.com with Chris GST and Des Delgadillo.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another weekly newscast here on PWPonderings.com, the very first of 2014. It seems like forever since I've done this podcast with anyone. And so, of course, we are joined by Des Delgadillo. Des, how are you doing, sir?
It was pretty good run there, not having a podcast, but I guess we have to do one again. So I'm all right.
Your enthusiasm is just so infectious. It really is. So, to balance that out, I guess, we brought on the senior editor of PWP, Jerome Cuson. How are you doing?
It's so cold, guys. It is so cold. Literally. I'm not even joking. I'm not trying to be Des and be funny here. They brought the polar bears in at the Lincoln Park Zoo because it was too cold. That's how cold it is.
That was funny.
That is pretty cold. I guess my complaining about it being 40 degrees a couple seconds ago doesn't go very far with you.
Not at all. It is minus 12 with a wind chill of 40, minus 40.
That's not great. So, guys, it's been a while since we've talked some wrestling. A lot has happened this last 2 weeks. And, of course, you can go to pwpondings.com, check out the indie news. Tons of results, including CWF, Ring of Honor, CZW. I believe it's Evolution Pro Wrestling, tons of stuff up on there. We're going to cover some of the major topics, and the first one I want to discuss is the Ring of Honor TV tapings. We're not going to disclose any spoilers, but there was, I guess, a major occurrence there during the tapings. AJ Styles, guys, he's back in Ring of Honor, the somewhat aptly named Ring of Honor legend, of course, fresh off of his contract from TNA, maybe not. Before we get into what happened, though, I want to talk to you guys. Des, you first. Did you have any expectation for when it was announced that AJ Styles was gone from Impact Wrestling?
That he would be back in Ring of Honor? I actually was... I think, like, the Chris Hero thing, I was surprised that he didn't show up in Ring of Honor sooner. And then obviously it came back a final battle and it made sense. AJ Styles got into Ring of Honor. Also, I expected, because he was announced for all sorts of other places and except for Ring of Honor. And then Ring of Honor was a glaring omission. So I was like, when is he going back to Ring of Honor? And so finally he did for a TV taping, the first show of the year. And apparently he's also doing the February shows. So I expected it, and I'm glad it happened. And just bringing a guy like AJ Styles into the company now, right now, makes for a ton of fresh matches. And you got Chris Hero doing stuff with them, so you got a lot of fresh matches in 2014 for ROH.
Jerome, do you share those sentiments? I know that we were lucky enough to report some of the news for when AJ Styles was going to other promotions like Dreamwave and PWX. But I think Ring of Honor, obviously, kind of one of the places we all expected AJ to go.
I mean, certainly, but I don't want to get too inside baseball here, but I'm not sure what the value is of bringing in someone like AJ Styles in on a consistent basis. But, you know, I certainly think if you bring him in once in a while, there can be value added to it. You know, wrestling someone like Roderick Strong, you know, that's a good matchup, especially for television. Ring of Honor, they're trying to go for the casual audience, and hopefully that is the occasion for them to get some of that. But I appreciate the fact that AJ Styles is back on the indies. You know, obviously it's sort of where he made his name before TNA, and even part of his TNA career. We'll see what happens. I'm not sure what kind of impact, pun not intended, he's really going to have on the indies in 2014, but we'll see. I mean, I'm not going to cast judgment either. You know, I think like Chris Hero, you sort of want to see, you know, what are his matches going to be like in the early going, and is he going to sort of work his way into shape and all that good stuff. So I think it's really important to just see where AJ Styles is at in that match with Roderick Strong, since it's one of his first big matches. But we'll see.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, at the TV tapings, and this is not a spoiler, obviously, it was already announced he was going to face Roderick Strong during the final moments of the match, which I guess could count up to spoilers, but it's been all over the place. Even Deadspin had a news article about it. Sensei Roderick Strong, he tucked his head in a little bit too early while taking the Styles Clash, and it caught him right on the top, and it... Basically, it's like he took a pile driver, and it was reportedly very scary for a little bit. But according to several people there live, they tweeted us that he left the ring under his own accord. I know that the Wrestling Observer reported that he needed help to the back. I'm not sure where they got that from. But of course, everyone, of course, very afraid for Roderick Strong what happened. All reports now, though, state that he seemingly is okay. He is going to be seeking physicians, you know, I guess in his home in Florida, just to see any, you know, any lasting effects, but hopefully not. And I guess Dez, kind of scary, right? But this happened, I believe, to Kazarian back in TNA a few years ago. Do you see any ramifications coming from this? Or is it just, you know, this is wrestling, people get hurt?
No, it's wrestling. People get hurt.
Oh, well, there you go. Jerome, do you share those sentiments? I mean, because I've seen people online, you know, obviously we all care about Roderick Strong. We don't want to see him hurt. But, some people are saying that, you know, maybe AJ Styles shouldn't perform the move ever again, stuff like that. Do you think this is just an overreaction?
I mean, it's not impressive when two guys who have been in the ring for over 10 years each, when they screw something up that badly. But I also think it's an overreaction to say that he should never do the move again, because he's done the move a million times correctly. And every time you do a maneuver in any professional wrestling ring, there's always the risk of hurting someone. I mean, CM Punk, you know, he's broken noses with the go to sleep for real. I remember Rey Mysterio was bleeding a gusher after that. And that doesn't necessarily mean Punk shouldn't do the go to sleep ever again. It just means that, like in all things, you've got to just try to be more careful. And, you know, I'm not the type of person that's going to assign blame for something like that, because it's very tough to tell as someone who's never been in the ring before. That's about it.
Other than that, it's been 2 weeks since we last talked about this, and we've had, of course, final battles already occurred. A lot of big stories come out of that, including the creation of another faction known as the Decade, which includes BJ Whitmer, Jimmy Jacobs, and Roderick Strong, oddly enough. And, you know, I don't know, Dez, I'm assuming you've had a chance to see some of the results. Do you have any thoughts on Final Battle? I know, Jerome, you and I have talked about this on a separate podcast which people can check out. So, Dez, do you have any thoughts on Final Battle?
Yeah, I actually shared my thoughts a couple weeks ago on the newscast, but I thought it was a good show. I think in summary, I enjoyed the fact that it worked like the way a year-end show should work, where it put some storylines to bed and you know, some that I didn't really enjoy, and it created some new ones that we're talking about. So I saw Final Battle. I haven't seen results for the TV tapings, actually, but I assume that storyline continued. So I'm excited to see what happens.
Well, if you want, you can go to PW Ponderings and check out the spoilers. Or if not, you can just wait. 4 weeks of television was recorded at the time. So check that out. We want to thank everyone that did follow along for our results. So let me talk about some other stuff that, I don't know. Guys, this is kind of a weird period. We already talked about AJ Styles returning to the indie scene. Davey Richards also. We talked about this a little bit. He's no longer with Ring of Honor. He has shown up in PWG, CZW, AAW, and he's going to be working soon with Evolve Wrestling. A lot of rumors out there right now, including one that him and Eddie Edwards were not signed by WWE, despite their, I guess, an internship at NXT for about a week. What do you think this does for Davey Richards? What do you guys expect to see him, I guess, turning up? A lot of people are trying to say maybe TNA. Jerome, what do you think about that?
I don't expect to see him in Ring of Honor. I don't expect him to see him in WWE. But I fully expect him to be a contracted wrestler somewhere in the United States. You can pretty much infer from those clues what I'm talking about. That is where I expect Davey Richards to be, based on some of the reports that have been coming out in the Wrestling Observer, PW Insider, places like that. It seems like that is where Davey is destined to go. And there's a ton of reasons that Davey is not going to be in WWE, and I think to simply speculate and say, oh, Triple H, you know, they're too short. That's why they didn't get signed. You know, I think that's, you're just making very broad assumptions, because there are a number of talents who I don't think would have been signed 5-6 years ago that have been signed. Guys like Sami Zayn, Adrian Neville, you know, those type of guys. You know, I think there's a lot at play with these WWE contracts, and I don't think to necessarily say that it's for this reason or another. I'm sure there are multiple factors that have played into the fact that Davey and Eddie will not be in WWE, but I guess they're going to try the TNA route. As long as TNA can find some place to tape television, which will not be in Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. Dez, kind of the same question to you. I know that I don't know. You are an American Wolves fan, but also you have mentioned many times on the podcast that you could understand some people not liking their style of match. You know, kind of the strong style out of Japan, and sometimes, with some fairness, they don't necessarily sell as well as some other wrestlers, or at least in the perception as some other wrestlers. So what do you think about this when it was announced, I guess, that Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards may not be going to WWE, and they might be plying their trade in other places?
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, you mentioned, I've mentioned that before, people don't like their style, especially, I think, WWE. They're great wrestlers, and, you know, I'm sure with time they could, but, like, I can't imagine Davey Richards especially, or even Eddie Edwards, I can't imagine either of them adapting to the WWE style right away. And I think that's what they want, right? Like, that's the whole point of NXT. And I, you know, they're not going to spend 3 years in NXT adapting to the WWE style. So, yeah, I mean, TNA, like, they're having problems right now, but that's always where I imagine them being, is just sort of in TNA doing their thing, because I think their style would work there more than WWE. The fans in WWE are trained to expect a certain style from the wrestlers, and I don't think that's so in TNA. In TNA, the fans are much more receptive to new things. So I always, you know, when I heard that they were starting to branch out and looking to earn contracts somewhere else, I always pictured them in TNA.
Yeah, and I mean, something to what Jerome, what you said, there's lots of talents right now in NXT. So even if it wasn't a case of, you know, all the perception of Triple H from the internet wrestling community, I mean, they have guys like Sami Callihan down there, who is Solomon Crowe, Kalisto, Sami Zayn, you know, and for some, Bo Dallas, Mojo Rawley, Eddie, Corey Graves, of course, and it just seems that even if they did get signed, there's still a ton of talent ahead of them in the roster. So maybe it's just a case of just not right now. Maybe later. Of course, it is also rumored that possibly Roderick Strong could be looking at TNA. And of course, Chris Hero mentioned in a shoot interview with our video that he wouldn't turn down talking with TNA, but that, you know, it has to be right for his future right now. Of course, Chris Hero, no lack of bookings for him anywhere. So what I guess since the last time we talked, guys, is this doing a lot for indie wrestling, having guys like AJ Styles and Davey Richards and Chris Hero back in the scene in a way that they weren't originally? Is this helping the independent level, or is this just kind of par for the course?
You know, I think in particular with Chris Hero, AJ Styles, I think the perception might be that the independent wrestling scene is a bigger deal just by their presence. Davey Richards, you know, he's kind of been on the scene for a while, so, you know, maybe it does help, maybe it doesn't. I think there are certainly people who deride Davey Richards for justifiable reasons. I think there are some people who like Richards. There are a lot of people who don't like him. With AJ Styles and Chris Hero, you know, I think these two guys have sort of established themselves as stars, both within the independent scene and Styles within TNA. I'm not sure what value TNA really has, but you know, I think that those two guys are very good at what they do. And I think the only problems that I see, particularly with AJ Styles, is sort of the cost of bringing him in and sort of the restrictions that might be placed. You know, who knows what's going on with AJ Styles and TNA? I am still not completely convinced that AJ Styles is done with the company at this point. It would not surprise me if by the summer, just based on what I read about TNA and sort of their storylines, if AJ Styles isn't back by the summer. You know, I'm to me, this reeks of a total work, and I think this is sort of just a temporary thing, and he's going to take a little bit of a break, and then he'll go back as long as TNA exists, or if Jeff Jarrett, you know, there's apparently a possibility he might be opening up his own promotion, so, you know, there's also that potential, you know, maybe AJ Styles is going to go there in 4 or 5 months, so there's a lot of different possibilities, and that could be a great wild card. If Jeff Jarrett is opening up his own company with Toby Keith, you know, that changes the dynamics of professional wrestling because you could potentially have a third national company, and that also doesn't even take into account AAA as well if they're opening up a U.S. affiliate. So there's a lot of different aspects at play here coming into the new year. And TNA, what a TNA... Are they going to be able to make it through this year based on some of the issues that they're having financially?
Yeah, I mean, and Jerome, I mean, you have some unique experience dealing with wrestling promotions co-owned by musicians, right? So I guess we all see how well that goes. Dez, kind of the same question to you. I know that during the break, during Christmas and New Year's, you took some time away from wrestling, but hearing about guys like AJ Styles and Chris Hero back on the scene, does this intrigue you a little bit more? Are you going to be following these promotions that book them a little bit more than you would have beforehand?
Yeah, just because, again, I like the idea of a fresh match. And when you keep a guy away from the indie scene for so long, or I guess when they keep themselves away from the indie scene for so long, there are all these guys that come up, and when they back, there are all these new matches. Like, I'd like to see AJ Styles, you know, against Adam Cole. I think that's a match that a lot of people are clamoring for, and we may get it at some point, either in Ring of Honor or some other promotion, get the upper hand and book it first. But you know, that's, you know, there's stuff like that, and Chris Hero's doing stuff in Ring of Honor too, and on he's doing like every indie I think I've ever heard of. So it's always interesting when a new guy comes back and he has this entirely new indie scene that, you know, when he left it looked completely different. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I still find it amazing that Smash Wrestling out of Canada is still the only place that I've seen AJ Styles versus Chris Hero advertised. So that's kind of nuts. We'll have to see. One place in particular, though, that enjoys fresh matchups, and one that I know Dez is close to your heart, is PWG. And they announced the full DDT4 tag tournament that takes place January 31st in Reseda, California. Of course, as always, we'll be live tweeting those results, so check us out on Twitter at PW Ponderings. The teams announced are Joy Ryan and Candice LeRae, the Unbreakable Effin' Machines, Rockness Monsters, PP Prey, Inner City Machine Guns, AR Fox and ACH, the best friends of Trent Barretta and Chuck Taylor, and of course, Mount Rushmore of PWG champion Adam Cole and Kevin Steen. So not the Young Bucks, which I thought was kind of surprising. They also announced non-tournament and first-round tournament matches. So the non-tournament one, Chris Hero versus Johnny Gargano versus Drake Younger versus Kyle O'Reilly in a four-way to determine a future PWG contender. Roderick Strong versus Tommaso Ciampa. And then the first-round matches are Inner City Machine Guns versus AR Fox and ACH, The Best Friends versus the Rockness Monsters, Unbreakable Effin' Machines versus PP Prey, and Cole and Steen versus Joy Ryan and Candice LeRae. So it should be a lot of fun. Dez, I assume you'll be there live, and if not, I'm sure in some way you'll be following along us on Twitter for the results.
Well, Brian will be there. So.
There you go. Brian, of course, will be there. So let's get into some other news. Jerome, you went to two shows during this, I guess, little break, and you saw not one but two title changes, and Michael Elgin being involved in both for AIW and AAW. Before we talk about that result, why don't you tell us how those two shows were live?
Technically, I saw three title changes. I saw
yes,
AIW title changes as first Ethan Page defeated Johnny Gargano and Ultramanus Black, and then Michael Elgin defeated Ethan Page in a very, very good wrestling match at AIW. Their Dead President show, turnaway crowd, over 300 people in Turner's Hall. It was great to see so many fans there. And AEW, very similar. Again, 300 people at AEW, the biggest crowd that I've ever seen in the Berwyn Eagles Club. There was not a chair to be found, literally. at that event, and it was great to be a part of two local wrestling shows drawing so very, very well, and for two companies that have had just a spectacular 2013. And, you know, I think going into 2014, you can really see where particularly AAW is going. You know, Michael Elgin and Ethan Page, the AAW Tag Team Champions. Matt Cage is the AAW Heritage Champion. And Shane Hollister defeated Kevin Steen and regained the AAW Heavyweight title. Lewis Linden, not a clean win over Kevin Steen, but clearly, and I think this is a really good decision, they're really going with Linden as the intense champion. I think Linden is a very underrated guy, even still. Not getting booked by some of these bigger promotions, I think, is a lost opportunity. And I'm hoping that that changes going into next year. And, you know, when you look at the tag team division in AIW, the Jollyville Fuckets, they retain the titles in the opener. And I think they have the potential to be a very impressive team next year as well. So I think that AIW's title booking hasn't been the best at times, but I think you've got the champions that they have now, I think, are really solid, and I'm hoping that they can hold on to those belts for a while and really build them back up. You know, I was not a fan of Hope and Change as the tag team champions as long as they were. I think there was a lot of chaos with the AIW heavyweight title or the absolute title because of, you know, the issues that Ethan Page has been facing at the border, plus the intense title with BJ Whitmer, his injury, not defending the belt for the first half of the year. So I think you've got the right people holding those titles now. They can defend them and really make them mean something again. And, yeah, I was just very impressed with both shows overall. I think you want to check both of them out at smartmarkvideo.com or SMVOD. And just going into 2014, very excited to see what both companies can do.
Yeah, I believe Dead Presence was actually just recently announced as being up for download over at Smart Mark Video, so check that out. And of course, AEW has already announced their next show, The Chaos Theory, which sounds awesome. Michael Elgin, guys, he's just racking up belts, right? He picked up the AA tag titles with the AAW tag titles with Ethan Page. Dez, I know you've kind of been a fan of his work in the past. Do you fully expect him to see more, I guess, more title belts made, possibly PWG or Ring of Honor? He's just having a huge year. And I mean, that was just the end of 2013. What do you expect from Michael Elgin in 2014?
It's basically a rib at this point that he's not Ring of Honor champion. It has to be. He'll be champion by the end of the year. PWG, I don't know. I've given up on predicting things for PWG because they just... They have no logic, and that's what makes them so fun. So, yeah, Michael Elgin is just an incredible machine. So, yeah.
Yeah, Jerome, kind of the same question. I mean, at this point, and you've said it ad nauseum, and you have two great articles about your future predictions, not just for AIW and AIW, but also Ring of Honor and the WWN Live Universe. But do you fully expect to see Elgin with Ring of Honor Gold? I mean, it has to happen, right?
I don't think it is. I think I made the prediction. I think I specifically said Michael Elgin is not going to win a title in Ring of Honor next year.
That might be the safe bet.
Because for the record, I don't like that choice, but it doesn't seem like Ring of Honor has any interest in giving him the world title, so I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, maybe the same thing will happen with your Shane Hollister prediction, and you'll end up being wrong. And
I mean, in this case, I really hope I'm wrong, because I think it's a joke that Elgin didn't hold the Ring of Honor title in 2013, and I detailed that in my column, The Six Dumbest Booking Decisions of 2013.
Yeah, I couldn't even understand when he was, you know, he wasn't loosely affiliated, but him and Roderick Strong, when they were in the House of Truth, how they didn't get a tag title run. I mean, it just would have made so much sense, but whatever. Going into 2014, I think Mike Elgin is going to be a huge prospect. And if you want to train with him starting on January 20th, you can email Elgin Bookings. That's Elgin, of course, ELGIN, and bookings@gmail.com, and train with Michael Elgin. So you should all take advantage of that if you can. Guys, let's talk.
Yeah, Michael Elgin paid me to feed, so give him money.
Exactly. And of course, congratulations to him and Mischief. I guess breaking all kayfabe right there. We all know they're married. Come on.
Look, they made
what?
Damn it, Dez. They are actually married and are expecting a child. So
What?
I know.
Crazy. That child, I wonder how long it's going to take. I bet when that, before that child can walk, I bet he'll be giving his toddler friends like 2 minute suplexes.
Probably spewing mist, maybe. No?
Yeah.
All right.
That
joke
could have been worded better.
It could have. Hey, come on. This is par for the course for me. We all know. I'm the Brian Alvarez of jokes on this website. Here. Come on. All right, let's talk about some other news coming from WN Live. And Jerome, you mentioned this to me on Twitter. They have upgraded HD cameras and equipment. All iPay-per-views from WNLive.com will now be broadcast worldwide in HD widescreen. And that starts this weekend with the Evolve shows. And this means, of course, FIP, Shine, and DGUSA as well. They also said that the DVDs of these events will also be in HD widescreen. So, I guess I'm going to go to Jerome for this. No offense to this. Jerome, how does this impact you as a viewer of the product?
I mean, this is exactly what WWN needs to be doing. WWN needs to upgrade their picture quality. And in addition to buying the HD equipment, they also, I guess they purchased a router so that no matter what building they're in, I guess they're going to be able to do iPay-per-view. And if that's what it takes to get this right, then that's what it takes to get it right. I think that's the most important thing is you've got to get iPay-per-view right. You've got to get your production quality to be at a premium. And if these are the steps that it takes, then I think this is the best decision that WWN could have possibly made. And, you know, obviously this is going to be a good weekend for them to test this out, you know, running three Evolve shows, one of which is in a building that they're very familiar with. So I think I have high expectations that this is sort of where WWN finally begins to get iPay-per-view right, because I think this is what we're hoping for, is that the technology and the internet quality and the ability for people to see these shows live, this is what we want as viewers and as customers. And if WWN can sort of catch up to where a CZW on our video is, then that's a positive step, because, you know, I think that in an era where, you know, wrestling fans are going to have so many options with the WWE Network and watching, you know, all of this programming there, you know, I think the independent scene is really going to have to step up and offer similar options for their fans with HD quality by offering as many live shows as possible and not relying on that audience to say, oh, you know, I'm going to rely on the buzz of a VOD show. I think you have to present as many things as you can live and really give everyone that experience of social media and being able to tweet stuff and, you know, really allowing your fans to experience things live as it happens.
Dez, if there's anyone who's been as cynical, if not slightly more cynical than me about iPay-per-view, it's you. I mean, almost every time we bring it up on Twitter, you're the first one that I see saying, oh, well, I guess it's going to work, maybe. So what do you think about this? I mean, I want to give them a shot, and hopefully this weekend will be that chance, but, you know, they barely streamed, you know, maybe standard quality, low quality, whatever you want to say, they barely streamed that well. Now they're going high def? I don't know about this.
Well, it's good that they're going high def, especially with the DVDs. You know, I can't wait to watch their DVDs in high definition in 2018. But you know more about this than I do, Chris. So I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm legitimately curious. What does a router have to do with internet? Because the explanation that I saw in the WWN Live alerts was that they're getting the router so that they don't have to deal with the hardwire internet connection. But if you're using a router at a venue, aren't you using the same internet service? So what does a router have to do with making internet faster?
Well, there are technically, I guess, different grades of routers. You know, you have H's and N's, and a lot of people, the perception is that with the router, the internet speed itself, and that's what we're talking about. I mean, you could have, say, for example, I have DSL. And as sad as that sounds, in the metropolitan area that I live in, I cannot get fiber optic for whatever reason. Yeah. But some of these areas, of course, they have DSL. Maybe they have a little bit higher. They have cable. But in essence, what the router will do, it doesn't necessarily provide them with better internet. It just allows the stability of the internet to be better. So it could improve, but I totally understand what you mean in the sense that it's not like the internet in the building itself is going to be better unless they pay for it. And I know of some promotions that actually do that, that they pay for an upgrade. And of course, I've never rented a venue, so I'm not sure how this all works out. But most venues have, when you rent them out in the agreement, if you need internet, they tell you what they have and they tell you what they believe they can withstand when it comes to the bandwidth. And of course, as we all know, internet is unpredictable. And that's caused a lot of problems. So it really is just going to help them on the stability of the internet. It is not necessarily going to make the internet stronger. So
is the implementation of a router more, does it guarantee more or less stability than investing in a hotspot type thing?
Yes. Especially depending on the device you're using. So, so put it this way. If they got, say, a Linksys router, which is pretty cheap, not going to do you all that much good.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Obviously, I don't know what they bought, but I'm hopeful. I'm looking forward to it. But, you know, I don't know. I still have some reservations, and I think deservedly so. Jerome, you've talked about this. I know you and I and Kevin, we're going to be recording a podcast probably talking about a very similar topic. I guess we just have to wait and see. I did find it kind of comical that they didn't know if Sunday if they were going to do an iPay-per-view, and then they did release, you know, this information saying it is going to be on iPay-per-view. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But I want them to do well. Obviously, I think any type of online streaming, it quote unquote the future of how we're going to consume our wrestling, you know, and if this is one step that they take, then that's great. I'm glad for them, and I'm going to praise them for taking that step. So we'll see. We'll find out. Of course, the high def, I'm happy for, because I love high def stuff. And Dez, though, you kind of made that joke, but it's kind of serious. Jerome, is this going to increase the amount of frequency that we see DVDs from them? Did they mention that? I mean, come on. If we don't see these high def DVDs until 2018, then what difference does it make?
Caught up on 2012, so I guess that's a good sign. We'll have to see what happens. You know, I think DVD production should be at the top of their list as well, and being able to get their shows out to people as quickly as possible, because there are still a lot of people who like that physical media in their hands at this point. And, you know, I think there's also something to be said about owning something as opposed to just streaming it live. So I think it's really important. And if you're going to offer HD DVDs or Blu-rays, you know, maybe that'll persuade even more people to buy the DVDs, because they're going to get a very good experience. They're going to be able to see things even more clearly, good quality audio, good quality video. So, you know, I think it's really, really important that if WWN is taking the step towards getting HD cameras, it's really important that they get those DVDs out. And, you know, I think it's especially important, and this might sound a little sexist, but I'll say it anyway. You know, I think for the Shine iPay-per-views in particular, you know, with the women wrestling, I think you want that to be as clear as possible for your audience for multiple reasons. And, you know, I think that's also true for DGUSA, with those wrestlers and the quality of the moves they do. And when you watch a Dragon Gate show from Japan and you see it in HD quality, it really makes a difference, I think, in the presentation, the way that you're seeing things. So, you know, I think as good as the roster of WWN is and Evolve and Dragon Gate, I think what you basically want is you want them to be seen in the best possible light. And I think that's what this equipment upgrade will do.
No, I absolutely agree. This past weekend, I watched Wrestle Kingdom 8 along with a lot of people on Twitter, and I really enjoyed it. And, you know, I was just watching it. And on Ustream, there is just a standard definition. I would say it's about 480, maybe slightly higher, even though there isn't really a ranking between 480 and 720. But, you know, if some of those entrances and some of those moves, if you can see them in high quality, they would probably just be a little bit more impactful. Obviously, it doesn't technically affect the quality of the in-ring, but presentation is everything also. So I think that this is a big step forward for them. Before we get into the events taking place this weekend, one last bit of news. National Pro Wrestling Day, Of course, we all know about this. Coming up February 1st, 2014, at the Palmer Center in Easton, Pennsylvania, they have teamed up with the Against Malaria Foundation. And so, of course, all proceeds on that day will be going to help out that foundation. I think all of us have our eyes set on National Pro Wrestling Day, not just because of anything charitable, but because of what we assume could happen there. Dez, this is going to be a big event, obviously. And, of course, the implications that it has on a certain promotion that may or may not be dead. Does this intrigue you a little bit more? Does the I guess that, I don't want to call it hype, but the, I guess, act of helping out a charity, does that intrigue you a little bit more than if this was just a, you know, a regular wrestling event?
Yeah, I was already excited for it. And the fact that it's going to help a good cause, I mean, you know, you can't not like that. That's a cool thing. So, you know, it's always cool when wrestling is charitable.
It absolutely is. And I think, Jerome, I mean, you've mentioned before in the past, you know, possibly PWP doing something with some type of charity. Did this intrigue you anymore when the news was released about it?
I mean, it doesn't necessarily make me more excited for the show itself, but I think it makes me more willing to support it. And I hope that fans who do go to, I believe it's Easton for National Pro Wrestling Day, I hope that they will donate. I mean, obviously, anytime you can give to a charity, you should take advantage of that as soon as possible. And I think it's a great cause, and I certainly hope that people will support it. And even if pro wrestling isn't attached to a charity, you know, I think you all always want to give what you can.
Right, and it is at the Palmer Center in Easton. My apologies if I didn't say Easton, Pennsylvania. So, yeah, you know, looking forward to that. We'll have coverage of the event, obviously, and should be a good time by all. All right, guys, so this weekend, some big events happening. I'm going to run down those real quick before we get out of here. CWF, had their big Battlecade event, which they also streamed for free, an exclusive event online that I hope they do more of in the future. Their heavyweight champion, Eric Rill, defeated the 2013 Weaver Cup tournament champion, Trevor Lee. And then, of course, he was presented with a title by the longest reigning heavyweight champion in CWF history, the dangerous Corey Edsel. And of course, this was the passing of the torch. They returned to action January 11th with New Year's Knockout 2014. It features Trevor Lee and Chet Stoling versus Lance Lute and Cedric Alexander, Mecha Mercenary and Michael McAllister going up against Lee Valiant and Kamikaze Kid for the Mid-Atlantic Tag Team titles and much more. Check out CWF247.com for all the details. We talked about Evolve occurring this weekend, so I'm going to run down that real quick. January 10th, they're in Ybor City, Florida. The main event, AR Fox has an open contract. A lot of people speculating that this is where Davey Richards is going to make his return. And we'll just have to wait and see if that happens. Johnny Gargano and the Bravado Brothers are going up against Rich Swann and the Young Bucks. And then Chris Hero versus Ricochet in his Run the Gauntlet Challenge. Evolve 26 on the 11th takes place in Orlando. And the main event for that, or at least what I assume may be the main event, Roderick Strong and Rich Swann defend against the Young Bucks with the FIP tag titles in the Hero Runs the Gauntlet match number 2, Chris Hero versus Anthony Nice with Sue Young, and a Champions Pick Your Partner Tag Team Challenge, the DGUSA champion Johnny Gargano and John Davis versus Evolve champion Aaron Fox and UHA Nation. In Evolve 27, Jerome, you mentioned this, on Sunday, January 12th in Jacksonville, Florida, it will be a live eye pay-per-view, main event being Johnny Gargano versus Roderick Strong, Chris Hero versus Chuck Taylor, and Rich Swann versus John Davis. So a lot of fun there, looking forward to that. We should have, hopefully, either reviews of the eye pay-per-views, if not covering them live at pwponderings.com. So one last thing, of course, CZW. And Jerome, I know we talked about Cage of Death. This is their first show right after this. It is answering the challenge from the Flyles Skate Zone, Laurel Oak Road in Voorhees, New Jersey. Drew Gulak against the Nation of Intoxication, Lucky 13. Of course, Lucky 13, he won the Cage of Death, so that's just obviously his prize for that. In an international ultraviolet extravaganza, Arrow Boy versus the Nation of Intoxication's Danny Havoc. And then the CZW tag titles are defended Blackout against the Beaver Boys. I'm sure we're all looking forward to that. Jerome, just to get your thoughts overall, are you picturing a more, I guess, excitement for the CZW events now that people know that guys like Chris Hero and Davey Richards could be associated with them going forward in 2014? Or do you think that some people are just going to go, it's just CZW. They're still going to have the same product as they did, you know, years and years ago.
Based on this card, I think I'm going to have the sort of the same reaction. This is not a very impressive card, if you ask me. I think that There, based on my count, there's really only two matches that really have my attention that I think could be really good. Otherwise, the rest of the card is pretty mediocre, to be honest with you.
What matches are those? Which ones are you looking forward to?
Biff Busick versus Chris Dickinson, I think it's going to be awesome. And OI4K versus Juicy Product will be good. Otherwise, the rest of it, I could take it or leave it. I think, you know, most of the matches basically have to over-deliver in order for it to be good. Drew Gulak versus Lucky 13 doesn't do anything for me. Joe Gacy and Greg Excellent, not a fan of either guy. That does nothing for me. I'm not a fan of the Blackout as the tag team champions. But I'm hoping the Beaver Boys can at least win the titles. So, you know, I'm not necessarily looking forward to the match itself, but hopefully the result will make me happy. And I guess it's traditional that the card after Cage of Death really isn't that great. But, you know, given everything that happened last month and with Chris Hero, it would have been nice if they had done maybe a little bit something more with the CZW heavyweight title and Drew Gulak, but alas, here we are.
Right, I think the pull for this card is that the former heavyweight champion, Masada, he makes his return. They haven't announced any match, and I'm assuming it might just be an interaction with Drew Gulak. So we'll see, but I agree that the follow-up, of course, it's kind of like Elimination Chamber to, or not Elimination Chamber, but it's a Backlash to WrestleMania. You know, you have WrestleMania, the biggest show of the year, and then the next show. So, I mean, this is kind of that. And, of course, it will be on Live 8 pay-per-view. I'm sure people, you know, they still could be excited for it, but I totally get what you mean. There's not very many matches that I'm looking forward to either on the show. As you mentioned off the air, you know, we've seen Blackout as tag champions almost forever, seems like, in CZW. So it's kind of par for the course. Of course, if everyone wants to check that out, go to czwrestling.com. And, of course, DJ Hyde at czwrestling.com for any media requests, vendor space, and sponsorship. All right, guys. We want to thank you all for listening. Really appreciate it. Of course, the break that we took during this past 2 weeks. Dez, I don't know if you've done anything for the last 2 weeks other than get gifts and possibly drink chocolate milk. I don't know. But is there anything you've done on the internet that you want to tell everyone about?
No, what I will be doing I'll be doing stuff on the internet now, but I haven't done anything in the last 2 weeks. But actually, we have some really cool podcasts coming up on thingsdeathsays.net with some really cool guests. I'm actually really excited for the new year in terms of the content that we're going to start putting out on my blog, thingsdeathsays.net. Some really cool comedy, TV-related guests coming up that you're going to be really surprised to hear. And maybe some guests that you don't even know about, but you're going to be really excited or really entertained by their interviews. And I'm not going to name names yet, but they'll be coming out in the next couple of days and weeks. So thingsdeathsays.net and at DezDelgadillo on Twitter for other stuff.
Unless you have Benedict Cumberbatch to discuss Sherlock on your blog, I'm just not interested, Dez.
I'm working on it.
Good. Good. Jerome Cusan.
Smog.
Exactly. Jerome, you've written a bevy of articles up on peterpunish.com, all of them very well received, some of them slightly controversial. So why don't you tell our listeners about that?
Yeah, I've been putting Dez to shame with all the writing I've done. Right, Dez?
Well, I've been out doing comedy, not writing. So I'm.
Oh, well. Mr. Comedian over here. Someday, Dez, I want to come see your show just so I can heckle you.
I'm looking forward to it.
You got to book it around PWG, Dez. That's what you got to do.
Yeah, you got to get that double shot going. Twitter.com/JeromePWPEditor is the place to find me. Get my thoughts on wrestling, sports, and a whole lot more. PWPonderings.com is the place to find most of my articles, including 6 Dumbest Booking Decisions of 2013, 8 Wrestlers Who Deserve Contracts in 2014, I looked back at AEW, AIW, Ring of Honor, WWN, positives, negatives, and predictions. This week, I will be looking at the 6 must-buy independent wrestling DVDs from 2013, as well as discussing CZW and Beyond Wrestling. And then next week, I will be getting back into reviewing shows. Okay. Otherwise, that's it for me. And Chris, go right ahead.
What do you do, write for Bleacher Report now with your your lists?
No, I don't.
Good.
I'm not a sellout. I'm getting close, but...
Hey, I mean, hey, if you can get it where you can get it, that's all that counts. So I want to thank everyone, of course, reading out some of my reviews of Ring of Honor. I got some good and some bad criticism. A lot of emails, though, so I appreciate that. Of course, our Ring of Honor reviews will continue. I'll be reviewing Final Battle, possibly Pursuit Night 1 and 2. We'll see. And then, of course, I am reviewing VWAA, and I have a VWAA podcast coming up very soon. So check that out as well. Total Wrestling Magazine out of the UK. That's twmag.co.uk. You can find some of my reviews and articles there as well. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, that's CGSTong, C-G-S-T-O-N-G. As for PW Ponderings, of course, check us all out on social media, twitter.com/PW Ponderings. And facebook.com/PW Ponderings. And we are also on Google Plus. So if you want to check us out, just click the link on PWP. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Once again, hope you all had a wonderful Christmas and New Year's. And we are looking forward to bringing you tons of new content here on the site at PWPonderings.com. For Dez and Jerome,